Good morning. The parsha is Parshat Balak, and I have decided, it took me a long time to decide, but I decided I'm going to start with page 2. The second side of page 1 is appropriately page 2. What I'm going to begin with is the Rambam, and from the Rambam we are going to go to the parsha. It would seem, when one reads through Parshat Balak, it seems that this is certainly a fascinating parsha, just like any other parsha in Torah, except that it's all poetry. It's all poetry. A fellow Bilam who tries desperately to curse the Jewish people, and God turns his curses into magnificent blessings, to the point that we start davening every morning with the immortal words of Bilam, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkanotecha Yisrael, how goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. What a fascinating, beautiful statement to be said by this Goy, Seine Yisrael. And ultimately, most probably all will have to admit to the goodliness of the tents of Jacob. And Rashi says that what was it that inspired him to say, Atovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkanotecha Yisrael? Because he saw, looking down upon the camp of the Jewish people, that their tents were lined up in such a way that the opening of one tent did not correspond to the opening of the other tent on the side. That means nobody could really, you open up, you walk out of your tent, you can't see what's going on in the next tent. This, the sense of privacy. And by the way, in other words, one could also say that herein lies one of the places from which we learn that as far as Torah is concerned, everyone is entitled, I was going to say the right to privacy, but Torah never really talks about rights. We don't have rights. In Torah, everybody has obligations, responsibilities. I have a responsibility not to invade the privacy of somebody else. I have no right to invade and to get in a kukvas kachzich eyenim's tefil, what's cooking in somebody else's pot. The idea, the right to privacy, which has become such an extremely important, significant pillar of a democratic Western world, even though we're living most probably in a time that if you know how to use a computer, if you're 5 years old, that is, if you're 5 years old, and you know how to use a computer, you can find out everything about everybody on the face of this earth. The computer most probably has out-Bilam, they're simply, everybody's life is an open something or other. And then, of course, there are other great psukim that were said. Everything that was said by Bilam was so beautiful. Am levodad yishkon uvagoyim lo yitchashav. A people that dwells alone. And is not considered amongst the nations. And there's the famous Netziv, Naratzoli Tzvi Yehuda, Berlin, who says, Am levodad, a people, if you will be alone and you will not attempt to mingle and mix with the rest of the world, if you're am levodad, yitchashav, then you are going to be considered significant and important. Ubagoyim, but if you're going to try and join the family of nations, that's the kind of family, you know, you can't always choose family. But to become part of the family of nations is not really a great accomplishment for the Jewish people, because the family of nations spits us out anyway. So am levodad, if we are alone, we have a profound sense of our own identity, then we will be a meaningful factor in the world. Upagoyim lo yitchashav, but if we want to be part of the nations of the world, it will not go well for us. So there are beautiful psukim. There are many, many more beautiful psukim in Parshat Balak. It would seem as though there is no, there's no halacha. Last week we were talking about the fact that just all of Parashat Chukas is story, is history, and there the parasha of Parah Aduma sort of seems to be a strange add-on to the parasha, and that was the substance of last week's shiur. Over here it seems as though there's nothing beyond poetry in the parasha, but it's not so. The fact is, we will see soon that one of the most fundamental articles of our faith finds its expression for the first time in Parashat Balak, in the words of Bilam. On that page 2, we have the Rambam. It's the Rambam toward the very end, the next to last perek in the entire great work of the Rambam, Mishneh Torah. HaMelech HaMashiach Atid La'amod La'achazir Malchut David Liyoshnov. King Mashiach will arise sometime in the future, and he's going to return the kingdom of David to what it originally was, La'memshalah HaRishona, the first government over the Jewish people. Melech Mashiach is going to be Boneh HaMikdash, he builds the Beit HaMikdash, Umekabetz Nidchei Yisrael, and he gathers in the dispersed of Israel. V'chozrin kol ha'mishpatim b'yamav kishahayu mikodem, and all the laws of Torah that may have, for one reason or another, fallen into disuse, will again become normative halacha. Makrivin korbanot, and he gives an example. We will begin bringing sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash. V'osin shmitin v'yovlot, and we're going to do shmita and yovel k'chol mitzvah soha amura b'Torah, as the mitzvah said in the Torah. Today shmita is midrabanan, shmita is of rabbinic power. It is not biblical. In order for it to be biblical, we need all of Israel back in Eretz Yisrael. We need that people should know what shevet they came from. A lot of things that are required before Yovel can be min haTorah, and so too Shemitah. V'chol mi, the Rambam says, v'chol mi she'eino ma'amin bo, whoever does not believe in Mashiach, Omi she'eino mechakel l'biato. This is heavy stuff, the Rambam is saying. Not only is it important that we believe in this idea of a Moshiach coming, we also have to wait, that is, live in anticipation of his coming. That's not easy. That's not easy. We live very hurried, hassled lives, and we have enough tzuras. Most probably the only way that we should would be able to I think we can fulfill this, really, as I'm talking now. I think in Shemona Esrei, three times a day we say Eschemach David Avdecha Mehedot Tatzmeach, the blossom of David, God speedily bring it to fruition again. Eschemach David is really talking about the return of Malchut Beit David, which is the Mashiach. So we're really expressing our anticipation, and that we pray for it in Shemona Esrei. Good. I turned mine off. Something's going outside. All right. Okay. Whoever does not believe in him, does not wait for his coming, one may have been left with the impression that, you know, the prophets, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, they talk about Mashiach. So the Rambam is making it very clear, no. If this is not, one who does not believe in the Mashiach is not merely rejecting the other prophets. He is rejecting Torah's Moshe. Lo b'shar nevi'im b'lvad hu kofer. It's not only the other prophets that he does not believe in. Ela b'Torah u'b'Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't believe in Mashiach, you don't believe in Torah, and you don't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. Shaharei ha-Torah ha-id olav. because the Torah testifies about the coming of Mashiach. Shenema, Yishov Hashem Elokecha et Shvutcha V'richamecha. God is going to return your captivity. He will have mercy on you. Yishov V'kibetzcha, and He will gather you in from all of the nations of the world. In Yeni Dachachavik Tzei Hashemayim, if you will be dispersed anywhere throughout the world, God is going to bring you back, and He's going to bring you back through Melech HaMashiach. Ve'elu hadvarim hamefurashim b'Torah. These words about the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam says they include heim kolim kol hadvarim shenemru al yedei kol hanaviim. See, the Rambam wants to make it clear that you should understand, even though in this pasuk Mashiach is not mentioned, but what's mentioned in this pasuk is that ultimately all Jews are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. So he says that prophecy includes all of the other prophecies by all of the Nevi'im that talk about that return. Shenemru al yedei kol ha-Nevi'im. And then, now we're getting where we want to go. Av b'parsha Bil'am nema. In the parsha of Bil'am it says, v'sham nivei. This Bil'am prophesies about Shnei HaMashichim, the two Mashiachs. Who are the two Mashiachs? The Mashiach HaRishon. He prophesies about the first Mashiach, who is David. David is called the first, and the Mashiach that we look forward to in anticipation, that is going to be the Mashiach HaSheni. He prophesies, he saw. God gave him the opportunity to see and to express that he talks about the first Mashiach, who is David, Shehoshiat Yisrael Miyad Tzareim, who saved the Jewish people from the hands of their oppressors, Ube Mashiach HaAcharon, and he also prophesied about the Mashiach at the end, Shomeid Mi Banav, who is going to arise from amongst the children of David, Shemoshiach Yisrael Ba'akronah, who is going to save the Jewish people at the very end, Shomhu Omer. The Rambam is now going to quote the appropriate psukim in Parashat Balak. This is the pasuk, and we're going to be dealing with this pasuk. Er'enu v'lo ato. I see him, but not now. The Rambam says, Zed David. Ashurenu. I view him v'lo karov. But it's not close. See, it would seem as though Bil'am is repeating something. I see him, but not now. I view him, but not near. Says, no, these are two different phrases. And the difference, of course, is between the word edenu, to see, and the word ashurenu, that also means to see. The difference between the two is something that I see up close. Ashurenu is something that I see from the distance. So Bil'am is saying, Avenu, I see the Savior, the Lo'ato, it's not right now, but it's not too far off in the distant future. Then he says, I see something else. Ashurenu, I view something out in the distance, the Lo'karov, and that's not close. The one that is Erenu v'lo ato, that is David. Ashurenu v'lo karov, I can sort of, I see it from the distance, and it's not close. That is Melech HaMashiach. And now he's quoting again from the pasuk. We're going back to the pasuk. We're going to be dividing this pasuk into all of its components. We've gone through two of the components so far. Erenu, I see him v'lo ato, but not now. Ashurenu, I view him, v'lo karov, but it's not close. And then it says, Dorach Kochav Me'Yakov, a star. He sees a star shooting out of Yaakov. This star shooting out represents something unique, something very special that is taking place. That's David. The Kam Shevet Me'Yiskol. Shevet means a scepter, a ruler arises over Israel, the Melech HaMashiach, that's King Mashiach. Back to the pasuk. We've gone through now two sets of two. Erenu v'lo ata, Ashurenu v'lo korov, Dorachochav miYakov, V'kom shevet miYisrael. Well, if you know this pasuk by heart, by the time I'm finished with the shiur, I will consider it a very fine accomplishment for today. Back to the pasuk. Back to the pasuk. Umachat patei Moav. He's going to crush the ends, even the very ends of Moab. He's going to crush Moab. By the way, the whole parasha is about Balak, king of Moab, hiring a professional curser, S-E-R, a curser, a man who knows how to curse. All right, he hires Bilam in order to curse the Jewish people, and so the whole parasha is talking about Moab. But ultimately, Moab is going to be crushed. David is going to crush the ends of Moab, the Chenu Omer. And it says indeed in Shmuel, "Vayach et Moab, David struck and smote Moab by Yimadadein Bachelo." He measured out the land of Moab with a rope. He took over Moab. The karka, this is the last part of the pasuk. The karka kol b'nei sheit, and he destroyed, he shattered all the sons of sheit. Who's the one that's going to shatter all the sons of sheit? Sheit was a son of Adam. Shade is another term for all of mankind. And when we're talking about mankind over here, we're talking about those who are Sonei Yisrael, those who hate us. It's a pretty crowded field out there. Yes, you get a little get a little uncomfortable, but they're going to be crushed. All Bnei Shade, Zehamelach HaMashiach, that is King Moshiach, is the one who is going to destroy evil from upon the face of this earth. Shenemar bo, because it says about him, Umashlo miyam ad yam, he's going to rule from sea to shining sea. Doesn't say shining in there, but from one end of the earth to the other. Umashlo miyam ad yam. Vohoya edom yedeshanah, he's back to the prophet. We're going to see the psukim in context as well. Edom will be destroyed and become an inheritance of the Jewish people. That's Esav Zed David. That David is Shenema, that he Edom with David la'avodim Edom Esav, the southern part of the east bank of the Jordan. That's where Edom lived. They shall be for David as slaves. V'hoyo Yeresha Sehamelach HaMashiach, who will destroy and inherit the rest of the world. Shenema v'olu moshiim v'har tzion lishpotet har esav v'aytar l'ashem hamelucha. So the Rambam is saying that Bilam is the one who prophesies about two Mashiachim, Mashiach David and Mashiach Ben David. He sees what's going to happen in the relatively near future, for 350 years later, and then he also sees as well what's going to happen maybe 3,000 years later or thereabouts. So the Rambam said, this is a fundamental principle of Torah, that one must believe in Mashiach and one must look forward in anticipation to him, and otherwise one is in fact rejecting Moshe and Torah. Extremely significant. Without getting into anything, I just feel that there's some confusion out there in the world about this Mashiach business, so it's worthwhile to put it in proper context, proper context. And watch. Wait. Going further in the Rambam. Our body, Mikvah Tuome, in Sefer Devarim, we have it in Bamidbar and in Devarim, there is the parsha of Orim Miklat, cities of refuge. Somebody who kills unintentionally has a responsibility to flee to one of these cities of refuge, and there he's supposed to remain until the death of the Kohen Gadol. So the Rambam says, Avore Miklat Huome, by the cities of refuge, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu set aside three cities of refuge on the east bank of the Jordan. When Jews are going to cross the Jordan to the west bank, there are another three cities that are to be designated, and indeed were. There were a total of six. But the Torah also says, "V'miyarchiv Hashem Elokecha et gvulcha," if God is going to expand your boundaries. In other words, we Eretz Yisrael may become bigger than its biblical boundaries. Can't say those kind of things today, but we're saying it. Because God said in Yarchav Hashem Elokechav Bukha, if God is going to expand your boundaries, Yosafalacha Old Shalosh Arim, you should add another three cities so that there will be a total of nine cities. And the Rambam says, "Umeyolam lo hayad davar zeh." This never happened during all the history of the first Beit Hamikdash and the second Beit Hamikdash. They never added another three. Why didn't they add another three? Now the Rambam makes another comment. V'lo tziva hakodesh baruch hu l'tohu. God does not command anything in Torah that is meaningless. If it says in the Torah that if your boundaries are going to be extended, you're going to add three additional cities of refuge, you can bet your life on it that if the borders of Eretz Yisrael will be extended, and you will have to add those three cities. So therefore he says, you have to understand that there is a period that's going to come at which there will be a Melech HaMashiach, when that is going to happen. Abu B'divrei in the beginning, in Ador Tzorech Raya, Shekol HaTzvarim Meleim B'Dototeh. The Rambam comes, one final point he makes over here. He has only brought us proof from Torah that there is Mashiach. He says, because in the prophets, I don't have to bring any proof. There are so many psukim in the Nevi'im that talk about Mashiach and the period to be, the La'atid Lavo, that no necessity to bring any quotes from the Nevi'im or psukim. Yes?
Why
would one read in time of
Mashiach,
fishes of refuge, so you add another place? The question was that In the time of Mashiach, what are you going to need more cities of refuge? What do you mean most of what people are going to need? There won't be any unintentional killing. Everybody's going to sit ishtachat gafno v'tachat einato. I think that the Rambam had your question in mind, and therefore you set the stage for what comes now. I mean, we could have worked this out, you know. Stand up job, you ask the question, and there it is, the Rambam answers. The Rambam basically is going to say the period of Mashiach is going to be a normal period in history.
Olam
kimin hagonohe. But wait a minute, there can be differences, there will be significant differences, otherwise why is it Yimot HaMashiach? There will be knowledge of God in the world. There will be a greater sense of spirituality in the world. But we're going to go. But you know, accidents will happen, even in periods of great bliss. Nothing is going to change in that respect. What? Vayala al dacha. Let it not occur to you. Vayala al dacha. Shamelach Mashiach Tzorech La'asot. otot u'moftim u'mechadesh dorim ba'olam u'mechayei meitim v'chayotze b'dvorim elu. Don't think that King Mashiach is going to have to prove himself to us by virtue of the fact that he's going to do all sorts of miracles. He's going to bring the dead back to life. He's going to make all sorts of new things in the world. Signs, miracles, wonders. Ein adavaka. That's not so. You know, I'll tell you. What? What's his proof? Ein adavaka. Shahadei Rabbi Akiva Chochum Godo Mechachne Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva was one of the great wise men of the Mishnah. And he was the armor bearer of Ben Koziva. That was the original name of Bar Kokhba. Why was he called Bar Kokhba, by the way? Because Rabbi, the pasuk that we were learning, you know, the pasuk is supposed to be learning, and Enu v'lo ato, Ashudenu v'lo Korov, Dorach Kochov miYakov, a great star goes shooting out from Yaakov. Bar Kochov, but his real name was Ben Koziva, and Rabbi Akiva thought he was king. Who are your Omed Olav? Shuvah Melech Hamashiach. Rabbi Akiva said about him that he is King Mashiach. The Dima who the Kol Chachmei Dodo Shehu HaMelech HaMashiach Arshen Neherag Bavonash. It was not only Rabbi Akiva alone, but all the wise men of the time thought that he was Melech HaMashiach until he was killed because of the sins. Kivin Sheneherag, once he was killed, Nodalahem, then they knew Sheino, that he is not Mashiach. V'lo Shal, here is where the Rambam is proving what he has in mind. Rabbi Akiva and Chachma Yisrael never asked of Bar Kokhba to make a sign or a miracle. They didn't ask him to bring the dead back to life, because that's not a requirement for Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is going to be a great leader, and it's not going to be a period in time where anything changes from the normal way the world operates. And I'm going to explain that a little bit further soon. The wise men didn't ask of him a sign or a miracle. This is the most important thing. Torah is eternal. You don't add to Torah, you don't subtract the Torah. Torah never said that you have to ask Moshiach for proof that he's Moshiach. He will prove it. How will he prove it? How will we know? So the next halacha there on says, "V'imyamud melech v'beit David, if there will arise a king from the house of David, ho geba Torah, studies Torah, the oseh de mitzvahs k'David oven, and does mitzvahs like his father David, gifhi Torah shebechsav tishab alpeh, according to the written Torah and the oral Torah, v'yachov kol Yisrael le'legba, and he's going to bring all of Israel to keep Torah." That's the most difficult job of all. By the way, that's a bigger mofet, that's a bigger miracle than anything else. And he will bring all of Torah, all of Israel, to follow Torah ulechazeg bitka. He is going to repair all of the cracks and the chinks in the armor of the Jewish people. And he will wage the wars of God. This person has a chazaka. He is Mashiach. If he did it and he succeeded, and he built the Beit HaMikdash on its site, that's going to be a formidable task. Formidable. There will be 1 billion or 2 billion people who will stand up against him. The Kibbeit Nitzchei Yisrael, he gathers in the dispersed of Israel, then Hadeza Mashiach Badai. Once he does that, then this person whom we assume is Becheskat Mashiach, he has the potential, he has the wherewithal, if he builds the Mikdash in the Koma. Very important that the Rama put in that word. Then he's Moshiach. Vaday the Takenet Olam Kulo Lavodet Hashem BeYachad, and he will finally bring the Tikkun Olam. You understand? Everybody thinks they're going to bring Tikkun Olam. Well, the only Tikkun Olam is going to be that which will be brought by Moshiach. Shenema Ki Oz Etoch El Amin Sofa Brura. Then I will express myself to the nations in a clear words. Likro Kulam B'Shem Hashem. To everybody will call in the name of God, Ula Avdo Shchem Echad, and together we will all serve God. Vim lo hitzliach hakol, and if he didn't succeed, o nerav, or he was killed, b'yodua she'eino zeh she'efticha alof Torah. V'arev v'chol ma'ochei beidavir ashleinim u'ksheirim she'meitu. If he didn't succeed, or he was killed, then we know for sure this is not the one that Torah promised. And he is like all the kings of the house of David who are good and pious, who died. Below him, neither are Kodesh Baruch Hu and Nafu Rabin. The only reason this person had such great success, it's a frightening Rambam, he had this great success to test the Jewish people. Shenema, as it says, when Amaskilim Yikoshlu, intelligent people may err. We have had extremely painful periods in Jewish history of false messiahs. Now, to make it, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion. What's Olam Haba? Is Olam Haba Bchiyos HaMeisim? Is Olam Haba Yemot HaMashiach? Sometimes even our rabbis refer to Yemot HaMashiach as Olam Haba. There are all sorts of terms, and they may be confusing. So just to clarify that for you, I'm going to take you to a piece of the davening on Shabbos. Unfortunately for me, I only had an Ashkenaz sitter with an English translation, but there's really very little difference between the two. Shabbos in the morning, before Kel Adon, it says, "Ein ke'er k'cho Hashem lokenu ba'olam hazeh, ve'ein zulatcha malkenu l'chayei ha'olam haba, efet bil techo go'aleinu li'imot ha'ashiyah, let's go over it again. None can be compared to you in God, our God, in this world. There is none beside you, our King, in the life of the world to come. There is none but you ever built the Hagar Aleinu Libot HaMashiach in the days of Mashiach. There is none like you, our Savior, at the resurrection of the dead." There are four terms used here. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Yemot HaMashiach, and Tchiyat HaMeitim. Now, it's explained down there, but I'll tell it to you simply, and then we'll read it. Olam Hazeh, now. Everything, till now. All Olam Hazeh. The confusion begins with Olam Haba. The Rambam says Olam Haba exists simultaneously with Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is right now. In what respect is Olam Haba right now? After one passes on, they go. What we talk about Olam Haba means the world of the souls. Saddam has existed throughout time. Olam Hazeh, and from Olam Hazeh, the immediate next step, Achamei Vesh Mishonah, is to the world of Mishonahs. Now, within Olam Hazeh, there are going to be two periods in history. One is going to be the period of Yemot HaMashiach. That's number three of the list over here. And then, after a long period of Yemot HaMashiach, there will come a further period in history called Tchiyat HaMeitim. That will also be a long period, and after that, everything will end. And take a look in the second. You can read both of them. Enki Erkecha, none can be compared to you. A fourfold statement of uniqueness of God, each phrase of which is then expanded in the following lines. The fourfold structure of many early rabbinic prayers reflects the influence of Jewish mysticism, which saw reality in terms of four dimensions of increasing spirituality. There's the world of action, the world of asiyah, the world of formation, the world of yetzirah, the world of creation, which is briyah, and the world of emanation, that is atzilut. That's it. There are four worlds, or four levels, four dimensions to the world. This is very important in Kabbalah and Hasidus in general, and in Chabad Hasidus in particular. I was just at a wedding last week, and they real special. At one point the band played and everybody sang the Balat Tanya's Niggin, the first of Rebbe's Niggin. Ay 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 ay. Ay, 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 ay. No. This is not a song fest, but that Rebbe's Niggin, the Alter Rebbe's Niggin, has four, it goes from one level to the next. The four levels represent these four emanations of the structure of the world, of Asiya, Yitzhida, Bria, and Atzilut. And then at the end, the Niggun is so beautifully formed, you feel like you're coming down. Oh, after going up, everything changes and you feel like you're descending from the upper worlds. If you ever hear it by a wedding, listen careful. And if you turn to the person next to you and say, well, that's Asiya. They're by Yetzira now. That's Bria. We've hit Atzilut and now we're on the way down. Second paragraph, this world. The prayer itemizes four time zones. This world that we inhabit now, the world to come, according to Maimonides, the realm of the soul after death. That's what Olam Haba is, which means Olam Haba exists simultaneously with Olam Hazeh. Then the third is the day of the Mashiach, when the temple will be rebuilt, the rule of David will be restored, and peace and justice will prevail in the affairs of mankind. And then fourth, the resurrection of the dead, the final denouncement of history, when those who have died will live again. So you have all four terms, and all four terms here in the davening are really being defined as they properly should be understood, even though there may be different medrashim and others that may use Olam Haba to mean a number of different things, but its technical meaning is as we see it here. The Rambam is going to go on, as I said, and say that nothing, there's a Gemara that says, Ein bein ha'olam hazeh la'olam haba elo shibud malchiyot tova. The Rambam passing with that means the following. The only difference between this world, Ein bein ha'olam hazeh, by the way, this is beautiful. Listen to the Gemara. Ein bein ha'olam hazeh, there is no difference between this world, la'olam haba, and the world to come. Ella, the only thing difference is shibud malchiyot, that we will not be enslaved to the nations of the world. The Gemara there is using Olam Haba not in the sense that the Rambam technically is. There's a classic example of where the word Olam Haba means the next period in history, but it's not talking about the world of the neshama. But the real technical meaning of Olam Haba is the world of the neshama. All right, now that we have that, let's go next back to page one. The point being made over here in this parsha of Balak, we are talking about a principle of Jewish creed and belief upon which just about everything stands. So it's not just a lot of beautiful poetry. It's not only a Matovu or a Lecha Yaakov or Am Levada Gishkon, but here is enunciated clearly in Torah the great principle of the Mashiach. All right, the Atah, let's read the text of the Pesukim v'Atah. Now, after Bilam has failed miserably, he has not succeeded in cursing the Jewish people. But by the way, something that can be lost in the course of reading this parasha, is something that's very interesting. It's something that's not written in the parasha, but it, for us, it certainly should put a whole new light on everything in the parasha. Balak, Melech, Moab is terrified that what Israel has done to Sichon and to Og, he is the next in line, and he sees that conventional warfare does not succeed against the Jewish people. Sichon and Og have mighty forces, but they were crushed before the forces of Moshe. So therefore, he decides we have to find wherein lies the strength of the Jewish people. And he was told that their strength is with their mouths, prayer. So he decided, how do you fight a mouth? With a bigger mouth. So he decided the biggest mouth around is Bilam. Bilam is going to use the Jewish weapon to turn it around against them. And of course, there everybody's excited. He comes, he builds altars, he brings sacrifices. There's only one thing. All of Balak's fears and the trepidation of Balak is all built on a fiction. Israel had absolutely no intention of attacking Balak. There's no threat. In Sefer Devarim it says, Torah tells, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Moab, al tizgav va milchama, don't wage war with Moab. Don't start up with Moab. I gave that, their land, I gave it to them, children of Lot. It's all in the mind. All of Parashat Balak is in the minds of people. And everybody sees Jews as a threat to the whole world. Everybody sees Jews as a threat to the whole world. And the fact is, we don't threaten anybody. We haven't threatened anybody. Except, of course, possibly theologically. Oh boy, do we threaten a lot of people theologically and spiritually. But all of Parashat Balak is built on a fiction. A fiction that pushes the sick mind of Moab has convinced them that these Jews are coming here to destroy them. And they never did. They never attacked them. It's only after they attacked us later, the days of David. Oh, they killed part of the family of David. Okay, then we have the right. Torah does give us the right to self-defense. Now don't make lightly of that. Not everybody gives us the right to self-defense. All other people have that right. Alright? Anyway, Bilam has failed. From Balak's point of view, Bilam has failed. From our point of view, he hasn't failed at all. He has given us tremendous blessings that are true at Hayom Hazeh until today. So now he says in his fourth and last speech to Bilam, to Balak, he says, Vata, Hinini Holech Lami, I'm going to my people, I'm going back home. L'choi Yotzcha, Shiyasa Homazel Amcho Bachrit Hayamin, let me advise you and counsel you what this people Israel is going to do to your people at the end of days. Now you're not in any danger at all, but at the end of days, they will crush you and destroy you. Vayisom Mishalov Vayomer, and he declaimed this parable and he said, Nu'um Bilam ben Obor, so spaketh Bilam the son of Or, Un'um Hageve, Shestum Ha'ayin, the words of a man with the pierced eye. Nu'um Shomea Imre'el, so speaks the one who hears the words of God, the Yodea Dat Eshon, and he knows the mind of the Supreme One, Achin Vei. The Gemara says he knows this, Bilam knows the mind of the Supreme One. The Gemara says he knew how to calculate the 1 second during the course of the day that God gets angry. And if you sort of, if you know how to calculate that, you have awesome power. The only thing is God decided not to get angry when Bilam was around. So that didn't help him either. Machazeh Shadar Yechazeh, he sees the vision of God, no fail, uklu Einayim, while fallen and with uncovered eyes, in other words, he was not able to receive prophecy standing up like Moshe. It was in a trance that it appeared to him. And here is the pasuk that the Rambam brings, and the pasuk upon which Biat HaMashiach is based on, Erenu v'lo ata, Ashurenu v'lo kara. I see him, but not now. I view him from the distance, but it's not close. Dorach kochav miYaakov, a star shot forth from Jacob, come shevet miYisrael, and a rod of rulership has risen from Israel. Umachatz ate Moav, and he shall strike down the ends of Moav, the karkar kol b'nei Sheth, and undermine all the children of Sheth. V'hoyah Edom yireisho, Edom shall be a conquest for him. V'hoyah yireisho, Seir oivav, Seir, another term for Esav, his enemies will be destroyed and conquered by him. The Yisrael Osher Choyl, and ultimately Israel, well, the translation says will attain wealth. Choyl means wealth, but I think its meaning means much more spiritual wealth. You know, not everything is money. And the word Choyl, when Eishes Choyl Mi Yimsa, are we talking about finding a woman who has money? So there we show a piece. Choyl means strength. Alright. The Yerd Yaakov, this is Mashiach. From Yaakov he will come and he will rule. The Yerd means to rule. The Havid Sarid Meir, and he will destroy the remnants of the cities. Nothing will remain. Alright. There are a lot of Rashis I want to learn, but I'm not going to learn the Rashis. I'm going to go, you know, there's always next year. We're going to go to page 3. And don't get upset by page 3. We're not going to go through all of page 3. This is the Or HaChaim HaKodesh. Or HaChaim. Ah! What a beautiful Or HaChaim. What the Or HaChaim is going to deal with is different than what the Rambam has said, and different than what Rashi has said. The psukim are all repetitious. Erenu v'lo ata is first phrase. Ashurenu v'lo karov is the second phrase. Dorach kochav miYaakov, phrase 4 equals phrase 3 equals phrase 4. The kom shevet miYisrael. Okay, so he says like this. Kefal hadvarim b'milo shanis, the ideas are repeated in different words. Erenu v'lo ata, Ashurenu v'lo kara. And then there's also the repetition of Dorach kochav miYaakov, the star that is going to shoot out from Yaakov, and then kom shevet miYisrael. Kol ha'nevuah b'melech ha'mashiach nemra. Rashi and the Rambam had said that the first part of each phrase, part 1 is David, part 2 is Mashiach. Part 1 is David, part 2 is Mashiach. That's how the Rambam learned it. That's how Rashi learns it. He's going to say, and it's not a matter that he's disagreeing, this also is meant by the pasuk. And he's going to say that all of the phrases are all talking about Mashiach. Ah, but how does it work? So he says, "Kol hanevuah b'melach Mashiach nemra." The whole prophecy was said about King Mashiach v'yidbaer al pi devarim, and this can be explained according to the words of our rabbis. There are two gemaras in Masechta the Sanhedrin. One is on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, where God says, "Vani, I." Be'ito achishena. In it, her time, I will hasten it. Now, wait. If it's in its time, it's not hastened. If it's hastened, it's not in its time. So the Gemara says that this is talking about the two possibilities of the coming of Mashiach. There is a time that was divinely set aside for the coming of Mashiach. If we are worthy, we can hasten the coming of the Mashiach before the appointed time. If we are unworthy, he will nevertheless come at the appointed time. Ve'ita means, yes, there's a time, and he'll come. Achishena means, we can bring him before the appointed time. So that means, therefore, there are two possibilities of the coming of the Mashiach. There's another question that the Gemara asks. In Sefer Daniel, Mashiach, no. In Sefer Zechariah, Mashiach is described as Oni Rochev al Hachamor, a poor man riding on a donkey. Right? In Daniel, Mashiach is described as V'oru, and behold, Imamanei Shemaya, with the clouds of the heaven. Two different descriptions. One is a description of poor man riding on a donkey, clippity clop, slow, bit by bit, but you know, you keep getting there closer and closer. The description in Daniel, the heavens opening up, and Mashiach comes. These are two descriptions, because the Gemara answers there's no contradiction between the two psukim. The two psukim are describing the two possibilities. If Mashiach is to come in his time, the Geula comes in its proper time, then it will be part of an evolutionary process. The students of the Vilna Gaon and the students of the Baal Shem will come at the end of the 18th century. Good Jews are going to be coming throughout all of the 19th century. More and more Jews will come in the 20th. And there are Jews coming to the 21st century already. Well, that's an evolutionary process. Nothing has happened in one single miraculous, overwhelming moment in time. Going to come. Ani rochev al hachamor. But it all keeps adding up. The process continues to evolve and evolve. There's a second possibility, and the second possibility is a revolutionary process. By the way, this was also what's significant about this, Arachayim and others who speak about this, and even the Gemara itself, is that you have to know that there are two possibilities. Because there are those who say, when Mashiach comes, Mashiach comes, he's going to give me a special invitation, okay, I'll get a first class ticket on El Al, and he'll bring me there, so I can sit around, I don't have to have any problems with mom, and with taxes, and with army, and all the rest. I'll wait, we'll come, so we'll go flying off to Eretz Yisrael. That's assuming that there's going to be a revolutionary process. And if there will be a revolutionary process, there are going to be a lot of people before them online. The Rebbe Hashem will bring the people that he wants first. If you believe that it can only be a revolutionary process, the heavens opening up, then nothing happened here in the last 200 years. Nothing. Now, that's pretty bad. If, of course, you believe that, yes, it may very well be an evolutionary process, boy, then we are in the middle of an extremely significant evolutionary process, because the evolution of this process has begun to speed up. By the way, they say about the Vilna Gaon that he used to walk back and forth in his room, and they would hear him say, Rebbeinu Shleilam, I want the plain shot of the pasuk, Be'ita Achishena, bring it speedily in its time. In a sense, there's no question about it, that the process that started 200-300 years ago, the fact is you can even go back to after 1492, Jews already started coming to Tzfat and to other places. But there's no question about it that in the last 60 years the process has begun to speed up, and there are four planes coming from Nefesh this summer, you understand, so getting another little shotgun on. The process is speeding up. So the, and take a look what he says. Beit Arkishena, Zochu, if Jews are worthy, Arkishena will hasten it. Lo Zochu, if they are unworthy, it will come Beita. Beita Buhurachot Muflok means it's very far in the distance. Vizela Kohaos, this is the proof. Hein Onu Betchilas Meya Hashishis Leel of Hashishi. We're at the beginning of the 600 of the 6,000. The Arachim lived 200 years ago. We're in 5,700. He's talking about the beginning of 5,600. Right? What was that? Less than 200 years ago. So he says, take a look. It's obviously got to be a long way off, because from the time that Yeshayahu said, Be'ito Achishana, oh boy, there's a lot of time has passed. Ukeneged Beis Kitzim Elu Divar HaKosef. What he's going to say now is very beautiful. Beautiful archaim. He says all of the repetitions in the pasuk are not really repetitions. Each one is talking about a different kind of goal, a different kind of redemption. At Enu, I see it. Buloapa, it's not right now, but it's not far off. That's the Geula, the redemption of the revolutionary one. Behold, from the very heavens. And then it says, Ashurenu, I can see it, below Karov, but it's not near. You know what? That's talking about the Geula that's going to come as part of an evolutionary process. The second part of the pasuk, Dorach Kochav VeYakov, out comes a star shooting from Yaakov that represents the miraculous end of days. And then V'kom Shevet Nisro, V'kom talks about something that begins, that arises step by step. That's talking about the second possibility. Not a revolutionary Geula, not a Geula in one single instant of time, but a Geula that comes as part of a process. And then, what was it? Eren v'le'ato, Ashuren v'le'kara, Darach Kerkel v'yakov, V'kom Shevet v'Yisrael, U'mochatz pa'asei Moav, V'karkar kol v'nei Shevet. Mochatz pa'asei Moav means that, you know, there will be little victories. Mochatz pa'asei Moav means a crushing defeat of all the enemies of Israel. One is part of the evolutionary process, and the other is part of the revolutionary process. Alright, that's really what he says in the left. Okay, alright, so this is it. Yes, one moment, yeah, go ahead. I'll tell you what she asked. And by the way, there are some misfortune she asked. Why is not, the Gemara tells us, in one or two places in Shas, one in Sukkah, the Gemara says that there are going to be, at the end of days, two Moshiachs. Moshiach ben Yosef, and Moshiach ben David. Why is that not mentioned? So there are misfortune to take all of these dualities, it's simple to say that one applies to Mashiach ben Yosef and the second applies to Mashiach ben David. And then there are others who say that the whole idea of Mashiach ben Yosef is something that a Kabbalah sort of a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, but not part of Torah Shabbat. About Mashiach ben Yosef, there's so much to talk about that. I think we did our job on Parshas Balak and Animan in the Muna Shlema the Vias HaMashiach the Afa Pisha Yitma Meya in Kozea Atake Lo the Kodam Shoyevah.